Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband. Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
So Paul O'Connell was in town on Saturday. He's a Standard Life ambassador. He was speaking at the Standard Life Investments. They're obviously principal partner to the Lions Tour, and they had an exclusive screening of the Test match on Saturday morning. They had O'Connell there and Willie John McBride and Doug Howlett there, and it's a really good morning in Fitzwilliam Square. And after the match, I caught up with Paul to get his thoughts on the game. First asked him if he was there, if he was in the dressing room, what tactical points, what two or three keynote points would he make to the team about the performance on Saturday in Eden Park?
Yeah, I think we just left them into the game too much, and I'd say that's what they'll have had three or four sentences from Gatland along that line after the game, and I'd say it'll be switch off mode now, certainly for the players for the rest of the evening until tomorrow afternoon. Yeah. But I do think, you know, obviously we needed to play fantastically well to win. We needed to play way above ourselves, but one of the big things you can't do, and I think you see Ireland doing it really well all the time, is you can't let a team into the game.
When you say that, what do you mean?
Well, when I say that, I mean penalty count. You know, you have to win the penalty count to win these games. You know, I think our scrum would have been a big part of our game, and while we wouldn't have been expecting maybe the dominance we got against the New Zealand Maori, you wouldn't have been expecting the scrum that came for the Rico only try, which was, you know, sometimes you can just get caught.
Yeah.
You know, when you get a 5 metre drive from their line, you hopefully you score off that 5 metre drive. But one thing you don't do is you don't turn over the ball. You make sure you're there 5 metres from their line, putting them under pressure, and you hope that you get 3 points or maybe 3 points and a yellow to them. But we turned the ball over. We got it back 5 metres from their line and turned the ball over straight away again.
Yeah.
Liam Williams' nickname is the bomb diffuser because he's so good at catching the high ball. The ball he dropped, I think, for one of the tries was really, really simple.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean when I say we left him into the game. Like, you just can't do that against against a side that's as good as New Zealand. You just cannot do that. And I think you can talk all the tactics in the world about various things, but that's actually a really simple part of the game that we need to get right before we look at anything else.
I was going to say, as you list off all those things, they're such unbelievable basics. And, you know, if we had, by some magic, been able to go forward in time and show you some of the runs from Williams, say, show you the try, show you the Watts, some of the Watson runs, you'd say, God, we're really going to hurt them here.
Yeah.
And that, like, that's the real flashy, almost superficial stuff.
Yeah, I think we played well a few times in the game.
Yeah.
Whereas they played well and played badly a few times in the game.
So they were consistently good.
Consistent. And I think they actually really innovated there today. You know, it's very hard to play against a team with line speed. So one thing you don't do with a team that plays line speed, you don't play a lot of long passes into the midfield to give them time to get off their line and hit you. You try and be quite direct. But in the Northern Hemisphere, sometimes being direct is, you know, picking and going and little sharp runners off nine with not a whole lot of deception or footwork. You know, they played tight, but they had amazing footwork. Lovely, short little 1 metre passes with an out half out the back, giving a bit of deception. And they gained massive yards by doing some really, really simple things quite well. Some of the lines of running, Kieran Reid just runs lines at the inside shoulder all the time really well. And I think they really innovated there in how they played with such subtlety in their direct style of play.
To the point where you haven't maybe seen that kind of innovation around direct play very often before?
Yeah, I mean, even if you look at some of the provincial teams or the Premiership teams, and they get into the opposition 22 now, a lot of what they do is try and ruck deep and pick and go and not make a whole lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
Their version of direct play was still only 5 or 6 metres away from the ruck, but it was little subtle passes, subtle footwork, subtle offloads, and I thought it was brilliant to see. And when someone is when you're doing that only 3 or 4 metres from the ruck, you don't have time to get line speed. A lot of the big hits and the big line speed we've had early on in the tour has been when our fifth or sixth defender out gets a 10 or 12 metre run at what they're doing and gets up to smash them. It's very hard to get off the line when you're sitting on the back of your heels and the guy that you're attacking is 3 metres away from you.
That's really brilliant analysis of the lines and how they go about their defence and then how do we counteract that. That sounds like the New Zealand backroom team did a bit of a job on them.
Yeah, I don't think we've had to defend anything. I don't think we've had to defend anything like that in any of the in any of the games up to now.
Yeah. Irish point of view, how did we do?
I thought we did okay. Conor Murray was excellent, I thought. His box kicking was excellent. His passing was excellent. You know, he had a great upfield support line for Jonathan Davies' first break. And was, I thought he was going to score himself at one stage. I thought Peter was really, really good. I mean, he looked so assured in the line-out. And I think probably our line-out might have suffered a little bit when he went off.
Yeah.
Tig and Jack did really well. Just one disappointing scrum, which will frustrate him. But that can actually happen in a game. It's unlucky for the two boys that it got punished by some amazing play from Kieran Reid and
supposed to have a broken
and
thumb.
Smith.
Reid, he's like he's come back from broken thumb. And
when he was clapping coming off, he definitely isn't moving his hands properly. So it's an amazing performance by him. I don't think he's played many games in the last year, so it's a pretty amazing performance by him.
Yeah. Will that count against Furlong and McGrath, or is that just one of those things that can happen? Like, they seem throughout the game to be doing okay.
I hope not. I think it would be an overreaction, I think, if it did. You know, one scrum can't undo the whole amount of good work they've had, so I think it would be disappointing. And I don't think, in fairness to Gatland, he's experienced, he's been around a long time, and I don't think he hasn't overreacted to anything on the tour so far. And you know, he's had this with Wales as well, where they've started really badly and been heavily criticised, and they turn around and they come back. So, you know, hopefully he's going to have to call on all that experience now again.
You've played under him. Can you explain to me, to the listeners, so, like, in general, what the Gatland Lions game plan is? At times where, you know, you get to a point in midfield and then there's a decision to kick, and, you know, so what are the forwards doing? What's the general hope? What's the perfect execution of the Gatland plan, as opposed to the, you know, the Watson and Williams off the cuff stuff? Like, the methodical minute by minute. What are they trying to do?
Well, it's different now to what it was we played in 2009 and 2013. Right. And what people would call Warren Ball, which was the old Wasps and Wales game plan, they're not playing that anymore. Wales didn't play it in the autumn. They didn't play it in the Six Nations, even though he wasn't head coach. Rob Howley was head coach. They're playing kind of a similar way to most teams are playing now, where they're spreading the forwards across the pitch in little pods. So I think Warren Ball is pretty much gone. But I suppose we saw, maybe you asked me during the game about Conor Murray kicking when we were on the halfway line at times. Is there much value in that? I think nowadays with the line speed, when you had 3 or 4 rucks in a row that are incredibly slow, and you're a little bit disorganised, when you have an asset like Conor Murray, sometimes rather than using tired forwards to regenerate something quick that isn't really going to happen, you know, you just go to the box kick. And it worked at times. It just, I'd say they didn't want to go to it as many times as they did around the halfway line, you know. But that game plan that the Lions are playing and have been playing all tour, you know, isn't the same game plan that we would have played in 2009 and 2013 that would be so recognisable.
Right, okay. The odds are New Zealand are going to win this series now, one way or another, because they're just damn good, and it's so difficult once you lose the first test. Based on your experiences in 05 and just right the way through 09 and 13, like, will it feel like a success if everyone stays together and just puts in 2 more very credible, good performances? Is that... because you're all such winners, so that sounds like a pathetic thing to aim for, like, let's put in 2 good performances. But if they can keep everyone on board and do that, that would be a good achievement.
Yeah, that's what they have to do. I mean, it's so overreactionary, everything. I read something during the week about the credibility of the Lions is in danger because South Africa and Australia are so weak now, you know. It's crazy. But I think a test win is really important. I think a test win for the Lions in New Zealand would be absolutely massive.
Yes.
You know, you'd be completely completely deflated if we played really well and were beaten 30 points to 15 and only scored a consolation try.
Yeah.
I think that was a really sloppy second half performance by the Lions, where they cannot improve their attack one bit and still be a way better team by, I suppose, catching the ball better, which sounds like a ridiculous coaching point, but and controlling the penalty count. Yeah, catch the ball better.
Just a thought. Catch it. Okay, so see, it's interesting because the eye catching stuff is what stands out to people, but you're looking at the sloppiness, the basics. Tidy all that up, and you'll be a much better team here. So that's kind of where you are, and that's what they have to do.
Yeah, and I think that's what New Zealand do really well.
Yeah,
like it's if you look at so many of their tries, the basics are executed executed brilliantly.
Yeah.
And you know, there's no real massive tactical shift needed. You need to be world class at the basics, and then you can maybe start looking at other things.
Yeah. You're in that period of your career where you're just retired, and so you're crossing the bridge the first time with the stuff you're missing out on. And this is the Lions Bridge and the New Zealand Bridge. I know you're on social media and Twitter, and you must see all the stuff coming in, and you know what's going on. You know the fun that's been had, the experiences. So has that hit you over the last month?
I definitely look. In fairness to Gatland and Rob Howley and Graham Rowntree and Andy Farrell and kind of some of the other backroom team, the last two tours they've done the Lions really, really well. You know, they've been really enjoyable experiences. You know, they've been, you know, so unique and different. I can definitely see that. I mean, it's non-stop social media now, so you can get an eye into every single part of the tour. But you can definitely see the players are really, really enjoying it. You know, they're enjoying the experience of rooming with different people and hanging around with different people and doing all the different things that you do on a Lions tour, getting to know all the different senses of humour. And getting to know, one of the funniest things on the Lions tour is guys you absolutely hate, the likes of Matt Dawson and the likes of Mike Phillips, you end up finding out they're all really good guys, they're great fun, and they're the kind of guys you really want to have in your team. So I can see that experience happening for a lot of them. The only thing about it is, you know, it's an even better one when you can get test wins, or you can get, when you can get a test win, or when, you know, even better again, like 2013, when you can get a series win.
And so, when you get a snippet of that come through in your phone, and you get the little pang, and you know the highlight of your morning is to nip out and get milk for breakfast that day, you dwell on it, or are you that sort, or you go to the gym, or what do? You just try and forget about it, just get on with your day, or what tends to happen?
Nothing really. Look, I was really lucky to play till I was 35, and you know, I had my Lions experiences. I had, you know, one really bad one and two really enjoyable ones. You know, I probably don't look back a whole lot. I definitely there's been a few games, like when I was up at the Saracens game at Munster, which is obviously a big disappointing day. But there's a few days, certainly I was in there about a half an hour before the game, and you know that little bit where the players come out and they're walking around the pitch and picking up grass and having a bit of a laugh and a joke with each other to get rid of the nerves. It's definitely times that game I definitely missed it a bit, and in the last week now in the build up to this, because I know, in fairness, I know how well that coaching staff do the Lions. I know how enjoyable the Lions experience is when they're on it. So there's been a bit this week, but by and large I'm enjoying retirement and you know, as I said, I've had my time, I've done it.
Yeah, it must make it easier. You're involved with Munster 2 to 3 days a week.
Yeah, with the academy. Yeah, and it's funny, you know, we show a lot of New Zealand stuff to them around some of the tries they score. Where,
as in to say, this is what we don't do. We don't want this here.
Said like a true Leinster man, but just in terms of some of the tries they score, how. No one has run over anyone here. No one has beaten anyone with a massive sidestep. They've just actually passed the ball really well, or they've anticipated a line break really well, and executed some basics really well. So that is one of the things I would take even again from today. Now, I know there were some real flashes of brilliance, but their basic skills are incredible, and I think we're all sometimes, from a rugby point of view, we're all people are trying to be so innovative sometimes. You know, the basics, and it's probably the same in any sport, the basics are where the best players in the world are at.
And away from doing that, and you can tell even just from what you've said there, you must enjoy it. Are you very busy the other 3-4 days of the week, or are you trying to have family time, or what are you doing?
I certainly was. I think I'm set up for the summer now to have a little bit of time off. It's one thing I probably didn't do when I retired straight away. You're so eager to do things, and I tried to tailor this summer now that I'll have a little bit of time off, and I'm going to try and play some golf and try and get somewhere respectable, because. That's one thing I can't master the basics of, I have to say.
Yeah. Pleasure talking to you. Thanks so much for your thoughts. And we'll talk to you soon sometime. Cheers. Okay.
Cheers, Joe. Thank you.
There you go. That was Paul O'Connell speaking at a Standard Life screening of the First Lions test on Saturday. Eddie O'Sullivan is on the line. Evening, Eddie.
Good evening.
Paul O'Connell making the point there that he thought the All Blacks set up and play through the middle off Smith was very innovative. There were subtleties, there were passes, there were angles, the shape of it, the setup. Bernard Jackman on yesterday as well, saying he hadn't quite seen a team set up like that before. So not only are they desperately skillful, but once again, they show that they're at the forefront of thinking about the game.
You're not so sure? No, I agree with everything you said, but I don't think it's that innovative. I mean, it was the only way to go, because basically, the way the Lions have been defending all the way through is they're playing up and in on the outside. The second last man playing the banana or the umbrella defence, if people call it different names, but it basically stops you going onside. Now, a lot of the provincial teams try to go over it with little chips, and that works out sometimes, but it's a higher risk strategy. The ball has to be exactly on the money, or else it maybe goes the other way. Or they try to go over the top, and the problem with going over the top against a defence like that is the hang time on the pass is so long that the defence can scramble and get you. So it looks like it's going to get there, but it doesn't. So the only way to beat a defence like that is to spread them out a little bit and go through them. So that's what the All Blacks did, is they went through the lines for a shortcut. And they were very smart in how they did it. They played a lot of short side stuff where the lines might have been, you know, maybe 3 or 4 players on a short side. And then they played off 9, and they played off 10 going to the line. And what they were doing is they were either dummy passing and going themselves or making a pass and a tip-on pass, you know. So all the action was very close to the source. So where the Lions were trying to cut them off, they didn't go. They went through them, and they went through them very successfully.
And did the Lions react quick enough to that? Should they have recognised what New Zealand were up to and tried to, you know, call for reinforcements in that part of the field?
Well, as I said, it's not rocket science to go through a team that won't let you go around them. I mean, we did it with Ireland at times. We played South Africa used to come up and in for a number of years under Jake White. And I remember in 2006 we went through them for a shortcut because we spread them out. So it's recognising what the opposition give you, and then, you know, they won't give you the corners, but they're giving you up the guts. So you take up the guts. You have to work hard to create it. But the All Blacks have the skill set, to be fair, to do that. They have all their players can handle under pressure. All their players can find soft shoulders. And the thing about it is, when they find a soft shoulder, they're going to win the collision. So it's a quick ruck. But if you don't tag the football, they're going to offload it into the channel. And their support lines on the offloads were phenomenal. There was some breathtaking handling. And when you consider that there was chucking down rain, they were doing this. So Hansen got his game plan absolutely spot on, and they executed it really well. I wouldn't say they were 100% happy, because they lost some ball at times where they were really on the front foot, and you thought these guys is going to end up in a score, and they may have turned it over or something.
Yeah.
They'd be unhappy about that. But in terms of their strategy, it was the exact way to go to break down the way the Lions were defending, and they did it really, really well. But I was expecting they would do that. I didn't think they'd try and go around the Lions, because that would have been a high-risk strategy.
Where now for the Lions? Stuart Barnes in the Sunday Times yesterday, there was a piece he wrote, the headline was "Too Fast and Furious," and he was essentially arguing that there was something almost noble about the Lions having a real cut at times yesterday, but he said the only way they're going to win this match is to slow the whole thing down. You know, he said when a game is faster than you might be comfortable with, that's when your lack of discipline comes in and you give away penalties. You're not accustomed to playing at that speed. And he said they need to slow this whole thing down and turn this into a penalty contest.
I think the notion of slowing the game down or speeding it up is oversimplistic. The way rugby works is when you're defending, you want to slow the game down. And if you can slow down the attack, it's very easy to defend, because you can build the line, get your spacing, get off the line and make the next tackle. It's very hard to defend when it's a quick ruck and you're scrambling to get to short form line, and the next ball comes. And so the principle of rugby is slow down the offence. If you slow down the offence, the defence dominates. And the Lions couldn't slow down. The All Blacks were punching holes in them left and right. But even the Lions have to think about when they have the ball, they have to find a way of speeding up the game and make the All Blacks scramble. So I think the notion of slowing everything down with or without the ball, to me, doesn't make sense. I believe when you don't have the ball, slow the game down. When you have the ball, speed it up. Now, how do you speed it up? That's how do you find the space to get in behind them or find the soft shoulders. And I think that's the trick for the Lions. But everybody knew the Lions' blueprint going into the game. It was going to be dominance at the line-out, dominance at the scrum, win the aerial battle, keep the All Blacks pinned back in their half, and, you know, squeeze the life out of them. And the only successes the Lions have had on this tour, and they've had some good successes. They beat the Maoris, they beat the Canterbury Crusaders, and they did that by squeezing the life out of them. And to beat the All Blacks, they're going to have to do that if they want to play that way. But I could never see them dominating the All Blacks set piece the way they did in the provincial games. And I thought that the All Blacks wouldn't allow them to squeeze the life out of them, and they didn't. They just went toe-to-toe with them.
Well, Steve Hansen even mentioned that. He said tonight was always going to be about the tight five, and we were very good there. We're extremely proud. He said, you don't become the number one side in the world without having a quality tight five. I always find it amusing when people tell us they're going to beat us up in the tight five. So you mentioned there what they have to do in attack. So like the All Blacks made a lot of yardage, the way we discussed going through the middle and working off Smith. When the Lions had the ball around midfield, quite a lot, and increasingly as the game went on, they ran out of steam, they ran out of quick ball, and it was a Murray box kick because they'd kind of run out of ideas. Like, so the brilliant try, the Sean O'Brien try, and some of the Watson running can be so spectacular and eye-catching, but if you take away those three or four moments, what were the, you know, the Lions actually weren't making much yardage. They weren't New Zealand looked pretty comfortable, really, when it came to the Lions' attack.
Yes, that's absolutely spot on. I couldn't agree more to you. I think the Lions had four or five big moments in the game, and they scored from one of them. If they'd scored from all four or five, they'd have won the test. But the sources of those four or five big moments, they had one big line break off a structured attack, and that was their first line break, and they didn't score. But if you think of the Liam Williams, that was a counter attack. The Anthony Watson one was a cross kick. The Daly one was a cross kick. Elliot Daly's one was a cross kick. Anthony Watson was a counter attack, and the Liam Williams break was on a short side, was a missed tackle. So they were not kind of
they're not repeatable.
They're kind of, well, they're possible, but can you get enough of those in the next game to win the game? I mean, I think it's interesting. Like, people forgot this, but Stephen Ferris made a great point last week. He was talking about, people were talking about the Lions, don't listen to the Lions, don't that. And they were saying Ireland set the template. Well, Ireland did set the template, but Ireland scored 40 points. So he said to Ian McGeachan live on air, can you see the Lions score 40 points? And he didn't. Ian McGeachan didn't answer, because it's very hard to see the Lions score 40 points the way they're playing. And the way they're attacking at the moment is they're attacking in the first test like they attacked in all the other games. It's the same shape. It's the 1-3-3-1 shape. And the Lions got caught, or the New Zealand got caught once, but that was the only time. You're right. Outside those big moments, the New Zealanders never looked like they were in major trouble. Now, you could say, and it's a fair comment, if the Lions cashed in on those four or five big moments, it could have been a different game. But they didn't, and they haven't been.
That's the thing. Actually, Barnes made that point. He said, that's such a throwaway line that people have, you know, if they'd finished off those chances. And he made the point, it's really, really difficult to finish off chances. You need excellent final pass. You need great handling. You need a really brilliant calibre of player. So it's been a consistent theme throughout the whole tour. If they just finish off the chances, they'll be okay. But it's not like they're finishing off the chances all the time and had one off day. It's a difficult thing to do, and maybe they're not going to do it. Can I just play a clip, because the clock's against us? So Warren Gatland mentioned Conor Murray being targeted in his Sunday press conferences. So the day after the game, yesterday morning, he mentioned it. And Steve Hansen heard this and decided himself to call in to New Zealand radio, and he had an issue with Gatland.
A few things that we've got to do. I mean, the one concern for me was that there was a couple of times that from Conor Murray, there was a charge down where someone dived at his legs, and I thought it's a little bit dangerous, and after he's kicked, he's been pushed a few times and pushed to the ground. So
your response to that?
Well, it's predictable comments from Gatland, isn't it? Like 2 weeks ago, it was a we cheated in the scrums. Last week it was blocking, and now he's saying this. But it's really, really disappointing, you know, to hear it, because what he's implying is that we're intentionally going out to injure somebody, and that's not the case. We've never been like that. And as a New Zealander, I'd expect him to know the New Zealand psyche, that it's not about intentionally trying to hurt anybody. It's about playing hard and fair. And, you know, if you look at the test match, it wasn't a great test. I mean, both sets of players earned the respect of each other in a physical contest that at the time no one was complaining about anything that was off-key, and you know, the fans that watched it loved it. So it's just really, really disappointing to hear him say that, and, you know, to take away the gloss of not only the test match, but from his own team's performance as well.
Well, why is he saying stuff like that then? I mean, you can't read his mind, obviously, but...
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess he might be a bit desperate or something, but I'm not sure. Don't know why he'd be saying it.
He goes on to say, it's a little bit concerning, and this is a quote, they're not actually trying to charge the kick down. They're nowhere near it. They're diving blindly and hitting someone's leg. That's kind of accusatory. Is you aren't happy with that?
Well, he's implying that we're trying to hurt the guy. Like, rugby is about playing within the laws, and in this case, we're trying to charge the kick down and or tackle him. So both those things are illegal. They're in the, you know, you're allowed, that's what the game is built around. But just because he's one of their key players, it doesn't mean to say that he has the right to be able to go around the park without being charged down or tackled.
We've about 2 or 3 minutes here, Eddie. So two things. Your reaction to that, and it's probably all much ado about nothing, and then likely changes for next Saturday.
I just think it was a bit of a rabbit out of a hat by Warren. I mean, if this was an issue during the game, you would have thought it would have surfaced immediately afterwards.
Mm.
But I think there was two incidents where, one, I think Murray got pushed after he kicked the ball, and, you know, if the referee was being pernickety, he could have given a penalty. And I think there might have been one occasion where they dived close to his support leg, but I don't think there was a concerted series of events targeting Conor Murray, to be honest. Yeah. I just didn't see it. And I think even if he felt that way about it, and he did, probably didn't say it unless he felt that way, he's just kind of dealt with it behind the scenes. When you lose a test game, you know, bringing this up now seems like a bit of a red herring.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a major issue during the game. I don't know if anyone was talking about it at halftime or talking about it at the end of a match. It wasn't on the radar.
Mm.
So it seems a bit innocuous. But obviously, Hansen's upset because it does imply that there was a sense of taking Murray out. And I think they're sensitive about that, and I can understand it.
Mm. And changes so, then?
Changes. I mean, I'm not sure how many he can make or where he can go. I think he's got his midfield right, unless he wants to bring in Sexton. In a sense, he wants to change the fly half, but I think he's decided his Sexton will do a better job than Farrell. I think Tio and Davies are his best options. I think the back three, I don't know who you drop there. I mean, who's going to come in and change the dynamic in the back three?
Warburton for Omani seems to be discussed quite a bit of late.
Well, that's the I'm just talking about the backs there. I mean, the back three. Yeah, the back three. The back row, Warburton came on, but I don't think Warburton did anything that Peter Omani hadn't been doing. Mm. I mean, it was a tough night. And if you think about it, Toby Faletau was a non-event with the ball, but Toby Faletau made 20 tackles, which only was the plan for him. Mm. I think the plan for him was 20 carries and not 20 tackles. And if you look at the funny thing about the Lions is that they made over 400 metres. Liam Williams, Anthony Watson and Jonathan Davies made over 200 of those, the three of them.
Mm.
So, like, I don't see where his options are. If he brings in a Toje, does he drop Cruz or Wynn Jones? Wynn Jones, I think, is important in terms of the line-out. He's a very, very smart line-out technician. And O'Mahony is a better line-out technician than Warburton. So he runs the risk of the lineup not firing well if he drops Wynn Jones and O'Mahony. So he's basically dicing with things there. And I don't know what changes makes that improves that dramatically. I think his line selection was a good line selection.
Mm.
I really think he got it right. I had a few things. I thought he might stick with Halfpenny in the back three, but I thought Liam Williams definitely deserved his place. I'd no doubt he'd go with Owen Farrell, and I didn't think he'd drop Warburton. In fairness, that was a big call, and he made it, so credit for that. Mm. And I think O'Mahony did well. I don't think O'Mahony let him down.
Okay. Listen, we'll pick it up again later on. Thanks, Eddie.
Okay. Cheers, Joe.
Eddie O'Sullivan there with his thoughts on the line. Short break. Kevin Caban will talk to us about the Confederations Cup next.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Ayr. Win GAA Football All-Ireland Championship match tickets at air.ie/GAA.